Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those were the words. "Lazarus, come forth." The story might have been told in another way. We might have read, Jesus spat on the dirt, made some mud, entered the tomb, placed the mud in Lazarus' nostrils, breathed on him, and Lazarus rose. But of course, that's not the story. And we are reminded of at least one other account, which is very much like this one, even as we look forward and see similarities to it on Easter Sunday morning. When Jesus was in the area around Capernaum, he comes to the city of Nain. At the gate of the city, he and his company meet a burial procession carrying a young man out to his grave, the son of a widow. Jesus pitied the mother, touched the young man, and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the young man came to life. "Lazarus, come forth." And, records the apostle St. John, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And this, of course, must be connected to the words of Jesus in the 5th chapter of this same Gospel of St. John, where we read, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." Lazarus, come forth. The first thing that we should notice is that in both cases, the case of the son of the widow of Nain, and in the case of the death of Lazarus, Jesus worked his power by his word. not word magic. It's not black magic by which one compels the deity to do something by speaking an abracadabra or a hocus pocus. Rather, it is the way that God himself acts when he wills something, and by his will, that thing takes place. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Scripture says in the 33rd Psalm, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." In the letter to the Hebrews, we hear this: "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Think also about the other ways in which he works among us by his word. Not only does he heal the paralyzed man by speaking a word, "Take up your bed and walk," but he forgives sin by speaking his word: "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." It's by his word that the water of baptism is made holy and powerful. It's by his word that bread and wine are his body and blood in the Holy Supper. It's by his word that we are converted from darkness to faith, not merely in that his word provides us with some valuable information, but that it is the very working of his almighty power. St. Paul writes, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the faith of Jesus Christ." And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Peter writes, "You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." And James uses a very similar expression: "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth." So everything concerning our relationship with God is by his word. That God exercises his power by his word is not simply a matter of forming syllables with the voice and making sounds. It is the exercise of his will that is being spoken of here. God wills, he says, and it is done. It's by his will that the world has come to life. It is by his will that I have life. It is by his will that my spirit is restored to life by baptism and nourished by the preaching of his word. But the second thing that we notice here is that the resurrection of Lazarus stands as a token, a model, and a promise of our own resurrections. Jesus stands outside the tomb of Lazarus and speaks a word. He expresses his will, which is the will of the Almighty God of the Most High. And it is done. In spite of the fact that Lazarus' body has been in the tomb 3 days and has begun to give off the stink of rotting flesh. And at the last day, that same Lord, we are told, will stand over the whole world. He will stand over all of space. He will stand over the entire universe. And he will summon to life those whose bodies have long since merged with the dust of the ground, who have rested in graves for thousands of years, and of whom no trace is left. Those who have been buried in the sea to be eaten by the fish and sea mammals and microbes. Those whose ashes have been scattered over the oceans, the mountains, deserts, prairies, and forests. Those who have been incinerated in fires, in crashes, and in war. Job confesses that resurrection when he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though according to my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My eyes shall behold him, and not the eyes of another. All will come forth at the voice of the one who raised Lazarus and will be judged. Jesus says in John 5, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. So it is by works that we have eternal life. Well, of course it is, but not our own work. It's by the merits of my Lord, the very one who summoned Lazarus out of the grave and who will summon all of us out of the grave. It is by his work, by his life and his bitter suffering and death, by all of his merits that I am judged. It is his righteousness that God sees in me because I trust in his righteousness to stand before God, not my own. Remember how Jesus spoke to Martha, Lazarus' sister. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe this? Believest thou this? And she confessed that she did. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And in that faith, everything that belongs to Jesus, his perfect righteousness, his suffering, and his victory over death, and his eternal life, all of that is mine. Believe it and trust it with all of the assurance that God has given you through his word. To him alone be the glory. Amen.